Hi, this is John Gabriel, and welcome to the Mind-Body Weight Loss Summit. This educational series is for those of you who have tried and failed with conventional diet and exercise programs. This is for people who are ready to make a holistic approach to wellness, a mind-body approach to address the real reasons why your body's holding on to weight right now and reverse it forever. And today I'm thrilled to be joined by Neelan Hightower, who will be sharing the simple truths of weight loss. Neelan is the author of The 6 Simple Truths to Fat Release and is a certified Gabriel Method coach. Neelan previously spent the majority of his life struggling with obesity until he reached a point where he finally figured out how to turn it around. He has successfully kept off over 100 pounds of excess weight and did so by implementing many of the Gabriel Method techniques that he now teaches to students who are ready and seeking assistance. He attributes sustainable success to changing the way we think and the way we look at both food and exercise and our relationship to them. He's demonstrated that weight reduction can be easy if the correct approach is used. No matter how far, of course, you may feel you've veered, he reminds us that we must start where we are and just put one foot in front of the other. Neelan has dedicated his life to helping others find what he has found, a satisfied and healthy mind and body. He now offers webinars and workshops to help people get the same results. As you're listening today, you can learn more about Neelan and his work at 6simpletruths.com, where you can find his book on Amazon. So, Neel, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks. It's good to be here, John.
Yeah, so Neel, can you tell us a little bit about your weight loss journey? Like, how did it all start for you?
Sure. Well, John, when I got going, you kind of have to get the lay of the land from where I was at. I was well over 100 pounds overweight, and my business that I was in business with my father had gone bankrupt, and we were residential home builders back in 2007, and was not a very good scene over here in the United States.
Yeah.
And still is recovering. So my life was really just, it was a mess. I had sleep apnea, which I know you're very familiar with.
Sure.
And I also had, I was on the verge of having fatty liver disease. My liver enzymes were off the charts. And I had been to my doctor about it, and the only thing he could really suggest was dieting and exercise. But, like, I hadn't heard that before.
Yeah.
And so I actually had this incident that happened to me one night where I was out. I was selling my pickup truck because I couldn't afford the gas or the payment. And I got a phone call to go pick up one of my buddies. And so I headed out the door about midnight to go pick him up. And I got pulled over on the way. And to make a long story short, I got a DUI that night for driving under the influence of alcohol. I had no intention of leaving my house that night, but nonetheless, this is the situation I found myself in. So in the morning, I find myself in jail, and I'm just analyzing my life here, saying, what happened? You know, my business had failed, my health was in the toilet, and now here I am arrested. Like, this was not my life. How did this all happen? And I felt like so many of these factors were out of my control. I just felt like I had no grip on anything anymore.
Yeah.
And so I had this heart-to-heart conversation myself. I was really down, John. I was certainly at the lowest point in my life. And I knew somehow, some way, that if I could regain my health, or at least a little bit, that it would then give me the strength to maybe be able to handle some of these other issues and problems that I had. And so that's what I did, but I just couldn't do another diet. I just couldn't do another, you know, program of some sort, or I knew that wouldn't work, because I'd struggled with my weight my entire life. I mean, ever since I was little. So I tried everything, and I didn't have another failure inside of me. I just couldn't take the fail one more time.
Right.
And so I knew I had to come up with something that was different. And I remember asking myself, you know, what would it look like if it were easy? And of course, I'd never really approached it from that direction, because I had always had it in my mind that losing weight and dieting would be hard. And so I had asked that question. One interesting thing about the human mind is when you ask it a question, it'll search for an answer.
Yeah.
And it'll give you one. And so that's one of the things that I've learned, is that if you could ask yourself more empowering questions, you get much more productive answers. And just because we think there are no answers to certain problems doesn't mean, I mean, there's always solutions out there. So I said, what would it look like if it were easy? And the very first thing that came to mind, I said, well, if it were easy, I wouldn't have to diet. If it were easy, I wouldn't have to give up anything. If it were easy, I could still eat chicken wings and drink my beer and all of that stuff. And I said, okay, well, that's fine, but you know, something has to change. Something's got to give. So I said, okay, so if it were easy, I would only add things. I wouldn't take them away, which I know is a principle that that you subscribe to.
Sure. Yeah, that's a big one for us.
And it's a huge one. And it's the adding principle. I mean, to me, I think it's probably one of the single strongest things that I can attribute my success to, is that all along this whole thing, I only added things. I never took anything away. But the interesting thing was that as you start adding new things and adding new things, it kind of pushes some of the bad habits out of the way and displaces them, if you will. You know, the example I give people is if you have a dirty glass of water, imagine a glass of water with a bunch of dirt mixed up in it, and then I had a nice big huge pitcher of clean water, and I start pouring that clean water into the dirty glass of water, eventually you end up with a clean glass of water without ever having to go through the shock of dumping it out, which is what
that's a really good analogy. I like that a lot.
Yeah. And so that seemed easier to me. And so it was a series of questions like that I had asked myself. And speaking of water, that was the very first thing I added. I knew I wasn't drinking enough water. And I was drinking Diet Coke, and I was drinking beer. And I don't know that I was getting any water in, just plain old pure water at all. So that was the first thing I added. God knows I knew enough about dieting and exercise and all of that because I'd studied it my whole life. Most overweight people do. They're the best experts out there in how to lose weight. Yeah. But, you know, getting it done is a whole other story. Water was the very first thing I added.
I remember talking to you that sometimes you tell people, look, if you should just do one thing, just drink more water. Just start
that's
with
it.
That. And that
goes across the board for anybody.
Yeah.
Anywhere, you know. If you just did one thing because, well, once I started drinking some water, you know, when your body's going through a state of dehydration, nothing's functioning properly.
Right.
You know, and
right.
So
and your body won't be able to burn fat well because it won't be able to detoxify. And if it can't detoxify, your ability to burn fat shuts down.
So everything just stays locked into your cells, and you can't get rid of the stuff that you don't want, and you can't get the good stuff in that you do want.
Yeah.
And so water was the very first thing. And the thing is once I started adding the water, well, I felt just a little bit better. And every time I felt just a little bit better, I was a little bit more empowered to take the next step and to add something new and to add something different.
Right.
And my life basically has been an upward spiral from that point ever since of just adding healthier habits and adding, I mean, exercise, for example. I wasn't into exercise back then. That was so far off the scale. I mean, I was so heavy, exercise wasn't really even practical for me.
Right.
And, in fact, the only exercise I did back then was walking. Because I knew at some point I did add some walking. I knew I needed to get moving. And so I added some walking. But, as I became stronger and stronger, I started adding more and more things. And now I'm in incredible shape. But the things that I do now, I would never prescribe somebody to do.
Yeah.
But they're things that you can work up to. I mean, it's just amazing where you can go.
It's like with me. Like if I look at my diet, I've got a very healthy diet right now, and it's all organic. I mean, it's all natural to have that diet. It's not an effort whatsoever. But there was a time when to have the diet that I have now would have been a monumental effort. But,
oh yeah, I mean, go back to the time you were living in New York and right. when pizza and all those things and imagine I said, John, this is how you need to eat.
Yeah.
You'd laughed at me. I probably wouldn't even got an audience with you. You know what I mean? You wouldn't have even listened to me.
Yeah, well, you know, I would have heard it so many times. And that's what happens is, you know, you go to a doctor and they say, well, just eat this way and eat less. Well, how do you get there, you know? No one tells you how to get there. And I think, you know, the path that you took and, you know, the path that I took and the ones that we're prescribing to people is the way to get there. You know, you have to focus on adding, focus on reframing situations in a positive way. And by doing that, these little things, you create a positive momentum.
That's absolutely right. I mean,
yeah. So along the way, like, what resources did you find most helpful during your journey?
Well, one of the things that I started doing differently was I started doing more reading, but I wasn't reading so much about health and diet and things like that. Because, like I said, I was pretty knowledgeable in that department. But I started reading more books that got me changing the way that I was thinking. And that's really what needed to change. I knew all that other stuff, but I needed to start changing the way that I was thinking. So I started following people like Wayne Dyer, Louise Hay, Jack Canfield, and started reading some of these people's books. And I started realizing that, you know, the power of your thoughts and the power of, you know, what it was that you were focusing on, how much that had to do and what you were thinking about. How much that had to do with what was materializing in your life. And so that would be one of the things I would encourage people to do is just to expand out a little bit and, you know, try following some different people, reading some different stories and some different books, watching some different movies. And
I think that story that you told when you were in jail and you reframed the question is to me is a perfect example, because you know, you ask the question you don't usually ask, like, you know, what would it look like if this was easy? That's not the typical question. The question is, how do I do this? But to frame it that way, I think kind of already set you on a different path, because then you started reading different things that did make it easy.
That's right. And then your brain, like I said, your brain will keep looking for the answer until it finds one. But it depends on what questions you're asking yourself. And that's what getting into those different books and following some of those different people got me asking better questions that led to better answers that led to more sustainable paths. Everything I did the whole way, John, because I, like I said, I knew that I couldn't afford one more failure. I just couldn't do it. I was at the end of my rope.
Yeah.
And so everything I did had to, it was always prefaced by this question, is this sustainable? Is this something I could sustain?
Yeah.
Because yeah, I know I can go out there and bust it for 12 weeks and lose 50 pounds or whatever it is, you know, that I'm set out to do. I knew that I could do that because I'd done it in the past, but it always came back.
Right.
Every single time, it always came back. So my question always was, is this sustainable? And I would never ask myself to do one thing that I didn't think I could continue doing for the rest of my life.
Right.
As I was going through this process. Because what's the point? What's the point? If I can't maintain it, then I know it's going to go back to where I was at.
Well, people don't understand. They think that you go on a diet and you lose the weight, and somehow it magically stays off forever. And what people don't understand is that, you know, if you're forcing yourself to lose weight, your body's going to fight back. So the real question is, how do you not force yourself to lose weight, but how do you do things that nourish you at different levels and make it sustainable, such as the adding water. So you added water, you started reading more, and you started thinking differently, you started framing questions in a more positive way, looking for more positive out-of-the-box solutions. And then what happened from there?
Well, from there, it was kind of interesting. I was about 90 days into my transformational process, and I'll never forget, I was in my walk-in closet, and my wife comes in, and she says, I have something to tell you. And I'm like, what is it? She said, well, it's not good news. And I'm thinking, well, what could possibly be worse? I was like, give it to me. You know what I mean? What could possibly be worse than what we're dealing with right here? You know what I mean? Everything was, whole life was in shambles. Hadn't made a mortgage payment for a couple of months. What could be worse? And she tells me that my father, who is also my business partner and probably one of my closest friends, was just diagnosed with terminal form of cancer and had 6 months to live.
Wow.
And so I'm 90 days into this process, doing well, probably 30 pounds down.
Yeah.
And wow, I was just absolutely devastated.
Yeah.
And I remember words, I can't even come up with words to say how I felt. And I remember I went down to, I didn't know what else to do, so I went down to the YMCA, which I've been a member of ever since.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a big supporter of, I think they're great down there. But I went down to the YMCA and I got on the treadmill and I just started walking. I'm on that treadmill for about 10 minutes and I started tearing up and crying. I got off the treadmill. I said, that's it. I'm done. And I threw in the towel. I was done. I wasn't going to do this anymore. I didn't have enough strength to deal with that. And as I'm heading towards the front door, there's this blurry image in front of me, and it was one of the wellness coaches there. And she stopped me. She says, what's the matter? She could obviously see I was distraught. And I told her what happened, and she stopped and she put her arm around me and she said, you know, your family needs you to be strong now more than ever. And they need you to be healthy and they need you to be here and present.
Yeah.
And, we talked for a little bit and, you know, I know one of the things that a lot of us deal with as we're going through transformational processes is dealing with challenges. And, God, there certainly have been my fair share thrown at me and I'm sure you've had your fair share thrown at you. And I think that's one thing, that's something that would have knocked me off, for certain. And it wouldn't have taken that much in the past to knock me off of a diet if I were on one,
right,
something like that. But, you know, I tell that story to people to let them know that, you know, you can persevere through absolutely anything. And it can actually help make you stronger, and it will help you make you stronger. Like I said, I know you've had your fair share.
Well, I think the important distinction here is if you're doing something sustainable or not. Because if you're doing something restrictive, where you know you're doing it for 12 weeks and you're gutting it out, and then something like that happens, it's going to totally throw you off, and then you're going to be off of it. But if you're not doing a situation where you're having good days and bad days, you're not dieting, you're not restricting, you're just focusing on making some positive changes, it's a lot right. harder to rock that. You know,
it's not like you have this thing set up that you really can't fail.
Yeah.
When you've set it up properly, you know what I mean? It's not.
Yeah.
I wasn't on a program per se. I never dieted. It's a very different thing than anything I'd ever done before.
Like,
you know, here we are. How many years later is this? This is, that was 2007. And it's, 2012. I mean, we're 5 years down the road, and I've never struggled from that point to this point. I've never struggled to keep any of that weight off, even a little bit. I mean, it just has not been, and I'm not that kind of person. In the past, I had always struggled with it. Always. 100% of the time I struggled. And I think that's another important thing, John, is that I was always afraid of putting that weight back on. Whenever I would lose weight,
yeah,
I was always thinking, oh my God, how long is this going to last for? You know, I was always afraid of losing what I had had.
Right.
And that was just never an issue here. I was never afraid of losing it again, because everything I did, I took a sustainable approach. And I always asked myself, is this something I'm willing to do forever? Is this something I could do forever? And restrictive diets were not something. I mean, you're going to eat grapefruit and cottage cheese for the rest of your life? No.
Yeah, no, so I know, like, the other thing, you know, we've just been talking about food and adding more food, but I know for both of us, for me especially, you know, there was a big emotional component to it. There were certain changes I had to make mentally and emotionally, and I did a lot of things like visualization and meditation, and I know from your blog that you also are doing visualizations and meditations, and I know that these things are essential for so many reasons, and I'm just wondering, you know, how you find that, if you find it a big component to your success and to weight loss and in life in general.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's a huge component. There's not a day that goes by that I don't meditate. You know what I tell myself? Even if, you know, I like to meditate for 15 minutes or 30 minutes if I have the time, sometimes longer. But you know what I tell myself is that, look, even if it's for 2 minutes, 1 minute, anything, you can always carve out a minute out of your life, John, and take some time to just get quiet.
I think it's true, but I think the reason why people don't do it is they don't recognize the benefit of it.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, like, you were obviously able to recognize the benefit of it. And I'm wondering if you can tell me in your own words what you feel that is.
Well, you know, I think what got me doing it was reading those books that I was telling you about.
Okay.
And I figured, well, what the hell, you know, I'll give it a shot and see if it works. Since then, I've come to realize the benefits and what it brings me. For one thing, it stops all the brain clutter going on in your head and just gets you quiet, and it gets you connected, even if it's just for a moment, and it gets you centered, and it gets you to a place where it's just so easy for your thoughts to run away with you, and you follow them. And they so often go to places that you really shouldn't be going. You know, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if this, I mean, and to just stop for a minute and center yourself, it kind of resets. It's almost like it's like recalibrating a scale almost.
Yeah.
And brings it back to zero every single day. So
and keeping
that
in mind that
too far off.
I think that's perfect. And keeping in mind that chatter that you're talking about, all of that chatter is causing worry, fear, anxiety, which is causing stress, which is elevating your cortisol levels, which is causing your body to gain weight. And for when most people just try to address things through dieting, they're not addressing the fact that their thoughts are causing them to gain weight. Their thoughts are causing chemistry in their body that's activating their fat programs and causing them to gain weight. So I find this too, that when you meditate, that chatter goes away and your mind's calm and the worry goes away. And there's been a lot of scientific proof that the way your brain chemistry, the neural networks and the pathways change, so that the areas of parts of your brain that cause stress, the signals don't run to that anymore. The parts that cause fear and aggression, they don't run to it there anymore. And your mind does get calmer. And chemically, that changes. And that chemical change is so essential to causing you to lose weight, because it's the same, that chemistry of worry is the same as the chemistry of a famine. And so if your body's kind of getting tricked into being in a famine, no matter how much you're eating, well, you got a real problem, because you're just going to keep eating and eating and stay hungry. So So to me, personally, in my journey, there was nothing more essential than dealing with stress and through meditation and visualization. And to hear you having the same result and the same effect, I just think it just to me reinforces the fact that it's so essential. So I know when everyone's listening and they're hearing, hey, just add more water and all these things, yes, those things absolutely, but you have to look at the whole thing. And that's why we're doing this as a mind-body summit. You've got to look at the whole thing as one unit, and you have to address all of it.
Yeah, your thoughts, nothing could be more important than that, because that's what's going to create everything that becomes real in your life. And yes, that's what meditation did and continues to do for me. Another thing I do is visualizations, and I do affirmations as well.
Yeah.
And the affirmations for me, I have some recorded that I give away on my website, but the affirmations helped start to replace some old thoughts and ways of thinking that weren't working for me with some new ones. And so I would listen to those for about 10 minutes before I went to bed every night, and it just gets you thinking differently. It's like, wow, I never really thought about it that way. I never thought it's not that you have to change your thinking completely all the way around. It's just start looking at it from a different angle. What, like I said, what if it were easy?
Right. Right.
What if it were? What would that look like?
I love that idea that, you know, our mind is basically a problem solving tool. And if you put it, whatever the problem is, it's going to look for a solution. So if you phrase the problem correctly, like, how do I make weight loss easy? Or, you know, I spoke to a lady, just recently, who's also in this mind-body summit, Jenna LaFlemme, who has something called pleasurable weight loss. So her question was, how do you make weight loss pleasurable? And she came up with some really, really fascinating answers to that. So I love this idea of phrasing the question in a way that gives you not only the outcome, but the outcome in a pleasurable, desirable, easy type of way. And there's no question, as you and I have both experienced, that when you do weight loss the right way, that is through dealing with both the mind and the body issues, and nourishing yourself both on a mental, emotional, and physical level, when you do it the right way, there's no question that it can be easy and very much sustainable.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I would have believed that,
yeah,
6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have fully believed that, to hear,
yeah,
somebody say that.
Yeah.
But having gone through it,
you and I both not only experienced it ourselves, but we're seeing it in so many other people too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you see it enough times, and then, you know, it's that there's an alternative to what we've been used to our whole lives. You know, I think that, you know, I think I'd ask you this question, but if you could go back and tell yourself, if you could go back in time and tell yourself one thing, what would it be? And I completely agree with you. It's that you can do this, and that it doesn't have to be difficult. You know, that this is possible. Because I think so many of us, I mean, I know I had just thrown hope away so many times that...
Well, it's only difficult when you do it the wrong way over and over and over again. It's almost, to me, the analogy is like, if there's a sliding glass door and it's closed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know that it's closed because it just looks like it's open because it's glass. Every single time you try to walk through it, you're going to bang your head. Every single time. There's no question. There's no exceptions. So when you try to lose weight strictly by restrictive dieting, without addressing the mental and emotional components, without learning how to nourish your body, without dealing with the real issues, in essence, when you try to do it that way, every single time you're going to run up against a wall. And so you're going to get to this place where you feel like, I can't lose weight. I'm not meant to lose weight. It's impossible. It's difficult. It's hard. But there's nothing easier than walking through a sliding glass door when it's open.
Right.
And there's nothing easier than losing weight when your body wants to be thin. And that is when you've done it the right way, as you have, and you've addressed the real issues.
So, and that's one of the things I've written about in my book, is that, you know, your body wants to be healthy. It,
yeah,
wants to be thin. It wants to be in that state. That's
right.
Where it wants to be. If,
right,
you can just dial in a couple of other little things that need to be dialed in,
right,
it's like if you get a cut on your hand, it'll just heal on its own, you know. But the analogy I always give is that, you know, it's like if we had that cut in our hand, but every day we keep pulling it back apart and pulling it back apart and pulling it back apart, and it never gets to heal.
That's a perfect
but
analogy.
If you just kind of leave it alone and,
yeah,
cover it up and help it out a little bit, work with it instead of working against it.
Yeah,
it takes care of the rest on its own. It's just not hard.
That's a perfect analogy. So let's talk about this. So you've got this book, you've written the book, Six Simple Truths to Weight Loss, is that right?
Six Simple Truths to Fat Release.
To fat release, right. And you've got a website where we can also get affirmations that you talked about and other things, right? Where would people go to
it's sixsimpletruths.com.
Sixsimpletruths.com.
And on yeah, and actually, I think I've got a special going on right now where people can actually download the ebook for free.
Okay. I would definitely recommend people to, you know, Neil's book is excellent and it very much speaks and lives the truth the most effective way to lose weight, which is addressing things from every level, from a mental, emotional, physical level, spiritual level, and learning really, it's really more about nourishing yourself at every level than restriction. Is that fair to say?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. So what's next for you in the world of health and wellness in your community? You got another book that you're making. Where are you now?
Well, I'm sure there's going to be a lot more books to come. I've probably got about 12 that are on deck that I want to write. I'm a father of three small children, so I really like to focus some of my energy on kids and health and wellness and children.
Right.
Because if you teach these guys right from a young age, yeah. I mean, yeah. A lot of what I went through, John, was poor habits. I was taught very poor habits as a child.
Sure.
And I think I had some genetics going against me as well, but I was taught some very poor habits. I took those poor habits and into my adulthood, and it just got worse. So I really want to work with children, and they're such a joy to work with, and I like watching. You know, I have got my own three of like right in front of me to watch and try different things with, and you get to see what works. So I'm sure I'll be doing more of that. I'm also working on a TV show. It would be an alternative to something like The Biggest Loser that we have here in the United States.
Yeah.
Where we show more of these kinds of ideas, alternatives to dieting.
Yeah.
Show people ways that things can work, you know, that things can be a win-win for everybody. That doesn't have to be a winner and a loser, that things can be, and win-win is going to be the name of the show, but that's another thing that we're working on, bringing together people like yourself and showing some of these alternatives to dieting that people just don't know about, as opposed to somebody standing over you telling you to do push-ups and yelling at you.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm not a big fan of whatever.
Yeah, that's perfect. I love it.
Yeah.
I love the idea. Both very, very close to my heart, working with kids and teaching people how to lose weight the right way. It's just very, very close to my heart. So, okay. So, is there anything else you want to leave us with before we say goodbye?
That's about it. Just to tell the people out there that, you know, not to give up hope. You know, I mean, as long as you're alive, you've got something to be grateful for. And gratitude was the first of the six simple truths that I wrote about. And, you know, to always keep your focus on what you do have, not what you don't have. And then you can build from there.
I couldn't agree more. So, Neil, thanks very much for joining us today. Everybody, visit Neil at sixsimpletruths.com. It's got a wealth of information. Incredibly valuable information, and Neil puts his heart and soul into this. So, Neil, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, John.
Okay, my pleasure.